time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Issa
and Jonathan Thompson.
In the headlines, President Mahama says his immediate priority is to solve country's energy problems. New command and staff appointments in Ghana Armed Forces. GJA new executive sworn in as association works hard to become a trade union. Israeli warplanes strike targets in Syria, and Venezuelan President Maduro accuses former Colombian leader Alvaro Uribe of plotting to assassinate him. First, a summary by Jonathan Thompson.
President Mahama has stated that solving the energy crisis in a greater priority is a greater priority of his administration, inaugurating a unit of the Bui Hydro Project in the Bonafu region, which is expected to generate 130 megawatts of power into the national grid. President Mahama emphasized that the coming on stream of the first unit does not suggest an absolute end to the energy crisis. President John Dramani Mahama has again approved new senior command and staff appointments in the Ghana Armed Forces. They include the commandants of the training commands, commandants in military academy and training schools, MATS, Commodore Emmanuel Akutubonsu, commandants, Ghana Armed Forces Command and Staff College, Air Commodore Isifu Sakibu Kadri, and Commandant Kofi Annan International Peacekeeping Training Center, Brigadier General Obed Bwama Akwa. The appointments take effect from 26th of last month. The Ghana Journalists Association is pushing for a trade union status to enable it to negotiate salaries for its members. Its General Secretary, David Agbenu, admitted that journalists are poorly paid in the country, hence the quest to be given a bargaining certificate. Meanwhile, the newly elected executives of the association has been sworn in. Roland Afomoni is the president and Timothy Tibu, vice president. And Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro has accused former Colombian leader Alvaro Uribe of plotting to assassinate him. Mr. Maduro said he has evidence that right-wing Venezuelan politicians have been involved in the plot. However, Mr. Uribe, a fierce critic of President Chavez, has dismissed Mr. Maduro's accusation as immature.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news in detail. President John Mahama has emphasized that the coming on stream of the first unit of the Bui Power Project does not suggest an absolute end to the energy crisis. He noted that the increasing population calls for more demand for energy and more needs to be done to stabilize the situation. The president was inaugurating a unit of the Bui Hydro Project in the Bonafu region, which is expected to generate 130 megawatts of power into the national grid. He stated that solving the energy problems of the country is his greatest priority. The short ceremony was witnessed by a large number of indigenes from around the dam site. A report by Pascaline Adadevo.
The inauguration was in two folds. The first unit of 130 megawatts of power at Bui and a substation at Kintampo to integrate the power into the national grid. The president and his entourage were virtually mobbed by children and the elderly in both towns. President Mahama stated that his focus within these few years is to enable an efficient power usage, most especially when he seeks to promote partnership with the private sector. President Mahama stated that the destruction of the West African gas pipeline has exposed how fragile the country's energy system is. He said he is determined to put enough energy into the system.
While the completion of the Bui project is a very good reason to rejoice, it does not suggest an end to our energy challenge. We still have a lot of work in order to completely arrest the problem and eliminate the impediments in supply of electricity to our people. Ultimately, Ghana's energy security is dependent on producing and processing our own gas reserves. I have taken a personal interest in the Ghana Gas Project and have asked for regular briefing on the progress of the project. I am convinced that the end of year target that has been set for bringing our own gas on stream is realizable.
President Mahama paid tribute to Ghana's first president Osagyefo Dr. Kwame Nkrumah and former president John Ajekum Kufuor, who prioritized the Wee Dam project. He was also grateful to the chiefs and people in the catchment area for their cooperation and support, and to the chief executive of the Wee Power Authority, Jabesh Emisasa. President Mahama, who is a fan of social network, is aware of the many reactions regarding the current load shedding, locally known as Dumso. He promises to face the challenge head on.
The recent news is that the Ashanti region has been converted to the hospital. So, I wish to say, very soon, when we have more than enough in the city, the region will be Yamamukaneo.
The Kintampo substation has been on the drawing board for almost 30 years until last year, when the sod was cut for the project to take off. It is a two-transformer station which will serve as a point of integration of power from the Bui Hydroelectric Power Project into the national grid, and also supply the power needs of consumers in Kintampo and its environs. In future, the substation will serve as an interconnection point for the proposed 330 power lines from Abuazi through Prestia, Kumasi to Bolgatanga. The entire Bui Hydro project is about 92% complete and will be available for inauguration by October this year. The last tranche of compensation is ongoing.
Pascalina Badevo reporting.
The communications specialist at the Ministry of Energy, Edward Bauer, says an extra megawatts of electricity added onto the national grid should be a source of joy for Ghanaians who have, for the past months, been experiencing power outages and frequent load shedding. Speaking on our current affairs program Behind the News, Mr. Bauer said the additional 133 megawatts coming from Bui is a milestone and will gradually help solve the energy crisis in the country. He spoke to Kingsley of Intra.
The addition of this 133, which is just a part of the total project amount that it can offer, tells us that at least we are moving on towards something that is possible. This is just a milestone towards getting energy sufficiency as well when it comes to energy.
In this case, the president was being a little cautious in saying that it does not suggest an end to our energy challenges. Is it because of recent events where predictions or forecasts do not really happen?
No, basically, I think that it is important also to put this in the perspective in which the president said. You realize that for every, if you look at the current situation that we find ourselves, look, even if we are able, because in terms of our generation load demand now, our load demand now based on the figures given by GRIDCO suggests that we are talking about 1775, that's 1775 megawatts. So it gives you a fair idea that, look, even assuming that we're able to produce power to meet this particular demand, we're not too sure. This demand, in our own estimation, is a suppressed demand. It is because people do not have power, so that is the amount they are using. We are sure that if we were to make power more available, people will use more power. And so just satisfying this particular system in itself is not enough. Besides that, you see, for every good system, power system, you must have what we call the reserve margin. Let's tell you that your reserve margin might be equivalent to your largest unit. The truth of the matter is that because of the absence of our supply, and even looking at the fact that our demand is growing at a very fast rate, and we are catching up in terms of that, it tells you that we are not sufficient in terms of power for everything. And so that's why the president was very cautious. Every project that you do, any serious project has three main components. You are looking at project cost, you are looking at the quality, and again, you are looking at time. So for every project, you need to place time on it. And most of these projects you are looking at, whether it was the repairs of the West Africa gas pipeline, whether it was bringing on stream the T3, whether it was bringing on stream the first unit of a grid, there were projects that we needed to put timelines on them.
Communications specialist at the Energy Ministry, Edward Bauer, talking to Kingsley Obeidre.
Meanwhile, the communications director of Imani Ghana, a policy think tank, Felon Brantier, says instead of adding more megawatts of electricity to the national grid, attention should be focused on adequate distribution and maintenance of transformers. He says challenges in the sector will continue to persist if there is no proper handling of transformers. Mr. Brantier spoke to Kingsley Obeidre.
is not just a function of our ability to raise enough megawatt of power, but even we should even look at the distribution itself and how much is coming to the electricity companies in terms of revenue. I mean, they need, apart from the fact that you need to generate the power, there also is a question of maintenance of the power transmission facility. And here I am talking about the cables and the wiring across the whole country, as well as the maintenance of the transformers, etc. I know quite well that even some of the power lines, the pylons that are supplied from east to west, some of them have actually been there for longer than they are supposed to be. And that in itself alone causes a loss to some of the power that is already being transmitted. And these are pressing issues that need to be taken care of even before we look at generating enough power across the country, because it is not just about generating the power, but it's efficient distribution across the whole national grid. And that alone is another challenge altogether.
Before we continue, is it not important for us to have that generation capacity so that when we are talking about distribution, we know we have something to even distribute?
Yes, but already there's something to distribute. But the thing is this, if we do not look at the two hand in hand, what we are going to have is very good generating capacity, but then we have a distribution model that is poor. Now what is going to happen is that it means that although there's enough power being generated, although we might have enough reserves, it might mean that certain areas would always be without electricity, not because the electricity cannot be generated, but just because the system is not working enough to receive that electricity that is being generated. That's the simple bit of the matter. We have several issues where we always hear about transformers going here and there. Of course, if the power is being generated enough, no matter what happens, these distribution centers must be adequately prepared to take the power and then transmit it.
Communications Director of Imani Ghana, a policy think tank, Salom Brantier, talking to Kingsley Obenchery.
And away from the energy and focusing on the military, the President and Commander-in-Chief of the Ghana Armed Forces, John Dramani Mahama, has approved new senior commander and staff appointments in the Ghana Armed Forces. They are Commandant of the Training Command, Commandant Military Academy and Training Schools, MAT, Commodore Emmanuel Akutobonsu, Commandant Ghana Armed Forces, Commandant Staff College, Air Commodore Isifusaki Bukadri, Commandant Kofi Annan International Peacekeeping Training Center, Brigadier General Obed Bwama Akwa. The others are Chief of Staff Ghana Armed Forces, Brigadier General Bobson Bemish Sagbu, Acting General Officer Commanding Northern Command, Colonel Joseph Edu Bwampong, Acting General Officer Commanding Southern Command, Colonel Samson Kujo Ajay, Acting Commander Support Services Brigade Group, Colonel Musa Waja, Flag Officer, Commanding Western Naval Command, Commodore Godson Kwabla Zuonu, Flag Officer, Commanding Eastern Naval Command, Commodore Stephen Kweku Dabo. The appointments take effect from 26th of last month.
A national integrated program to fight transnational organized crime is now operational. It is also directed at strengthening the criminal justice system. Vice President Parkwesi Misafa, who launched the program in Accra, said government is determined to make Ghana unattractive to all forms of transnational crimes. He acknowledged the enormity of the problem and asked civil society organizations and the country's development partners to support government to effectively implement the five objectives set out in the program. Report.
The National Integrated Program seeks to address five strategic objectives. They are legislative review, law enforcement, anti-money laundering and countering the financing of terrorism, the criminal justice system, and drug demand reduction, and HIV and AIDS prevention and treatment. The program is in line with the Regional Action Plan to address the growing problem of illicit drug trafficking, organized crime and drug abuse in West Africa. Vice President Misafa said, Ghana and for that matter West Africa remains vulnerable as the proceeds from the illicit trade are more than the GDPs of ECOWAS member countries. There is therefore the need for effective and coordinated program to fight the menace collectively.
The National Integrated Program represents the national foundation for an effective response to the threat posed by drugs and crime. The objective of our national integrated program is to place the fight against drugs and organized crime in the context of the overall national development strategy. Since security and consistent application of laws are prerequisite to any sustainable development, the NIP addresses problems related to the management of intelligence, effectiveness, and coordination among law enforcement agencies, functional and effective criminal justice system.
The Minister of Justice and Attorney General, Marietta Brewer-Pierre-Opong, outlined a number of legal reforms and training geared towards an effective prosecution and sentencing of perpetrators of transnational organized crimes.
Our seriousness has led to the development of the necessary legislation to fight corruption, the taking of necessary action to enhance staff capacity, automation of the courts, and tackling the overcrowding in our prisons. The creation of the EOCO by statute and the drafting of the National Anti-Corruption Action Plan currently before Parliament and passage of laws such as the Anti-Money Laundering Act of 2008, the Anti-Terrorism Act 2008, and the amendment to the Criminal Offences Act 2012, which criminalizes participation in organized criminal groups, all demonstrate the readiness of government to rise up to the challenges of the NIP with the appropriate institutions and laws.
The regional representative of the UN Office on Drugs and Crime for West and Central Africa, Pierre Lapag, said West Africa is no longer the transit corridor for illicit drug trafficking, but also a substantial user of narcotics. The IGP, Mohamed Ahmed Alhassan, called for collaboration among all the security agencies in dealing with all forms of crime. The Executive Secretary of the Narcotics Control Board, Yao Akrasisapong, took the dignitaries through the five strategic objectives of the program. Seth Iyia, reporting for Radio Ghana.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. President Mahama says his immediate priority is to solve country's energy problems. New command and staff appointments in Ghana Armed Forces. GTA new executive sworn in as association works hard to become a trade union. Israeli warplanes strike targets in Syria. And Venezuelan President Maduro accuses former Colombian leader Álvaro Uribe of plotting to assassinate him. Do stay tuned.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel, and more.
And the news continues.
The Ghana Community Radio Network has once again joined journalists all over the world in commemorating this year's World Press Freedom Day. Community radio is a small but dynamic sector in the broadcasting landscape of Ghana. It aims to promote the growth of community radio as a tool for rural and marginalized communities to exercise their right to communicate and participate in and drive the process of development and empowerment. A statement signed by a member of the Executive Council, Kwesi Gatetegu, said a recent directive from the National Communications Authority to community radio stations to limit their coverage area within a 5-kilometer radius is unfortunate and urged government and the National Communications Authority to ensure that its licensing procedures are fair, transparent, and delivered within a clear time limit.
The president of the Private Newspaper Publishers Association of Ghana, PrimPAC, Gina Blay, says poor publicity of private newspapers has been a major challenge facing the sector. She said the low patronage of their newspapers has hampered progress of their work. She noted that the public now prefer online stories to the newspapers and are therefore challenged to go online, although it comes with lots of difficulties. Speaking on Behind the News, Madam Blay said their main focus now is gearing themselves up into advertising their newspapers. She spoke to Kingsley Obinchere.
The main challenges that we have now is updating our professionalism, getting adverts for our papers, and getting sales for our papers. Right now, we are talking about even unionization for our workers. But when you unionize, you ask for more salary, you ask for better conditions of service. Where is the newspaper house going to get that if it's not able to get enough money as proceeds or as profit, able to do all that? So right now, part of today's conversation was on online news, all chipping away at our readership. Readership of newspapers is getting lower and lower in Ghana thing. And this day when you even say it, you said, oh, it's too expensive. We don't have enough money to buy paper. So, therefore, where do we get the money to remain on the market? It's important for newspapers or the media not to die at all, because it's part of our democratic process, governance process. For all of us to remain focused on it.
Is it not advisable too that this is the time that maybe other media houses can be adjusting and buying into the online business, so that even as people read online indirectly, they are buying and paying something to the organizations?
Oh yes, it will all come. People will do all that. But even it isn't about time, other newspapers buy into other newspapers. Maybe we should form blocks, get about 4 or 5 newspapers into one solid newspaper instead of having hundreds of little newspapers on the market. All that can be talked about. All that is part of the football that is all running.
The president of the Private Newspaper Publishers Association of Ghana, Prempar, Jinap Bley, talking to Kingsley of Injure.
The media have been challenged to ensure fair balance in their reportage, particularly on political, social and economic issues. The Minister of Information and Media Relations, Mahama Ayaraga, who stated this at this year's World's Press Freedom Day, believes this will help propel the country to the level of development. He also called on media owners to improve the conditions of service of their workers. The occasion was also used to swear in new GJA executives. Ayakwamwa has filed this report.
World Press Freedom is used to reflect on the achievements and challenges of the media and the way forward. This year's celebration is under the theme Ensuring Safety of Journalists and Media Workers, Combating Impunity Against Press Freedom and Online Safety. The Minister of Information and Media Relations, Mahama Ayaraga, commended the past and present executives of the Ghana Journalists Association, GJA, for moving the association forward. He expressed concern about the over-concentration on political reportage at the expense of social and economic issues. Mr. Ayaraga called on media owners to improve on the working conditions of journalists.
I've said again and again that there is a disproportionate focus on politics and governance relative to social and economic issues in terms of media coverage. And I think that it is important for us to work towards achieving a fair balance in terms of the issues that we focus on as a media. But owners of media must begin to pay attention to the conditions of service of media practitioners, given that we haven't finished managing the relationship between us and some of our employees.
The president of the GJA, Roland Afemoni, challenged journalists to ensure balanced reportage. He said Ghana's democracy is at a crossroads. He therefore emphasized the need for media practitioners to stand up and let their ethical values reflect in their work.
Our democracy is on a slippery ground, and if media practitioners do not stand up and correct ethical jabs and kinks, we shall regret. In this critical stage of our history, we must more than ever before internalize ethical values and reflect them in our output. We also pledge to maintain a credible voice in the national discourse and scale up our traditional roles as oxygen of democracy. For the sake of emphasis, we shall not flinch from our role as watchdogs. No amount of intimidation, no amount of beatings at public functions, God forbid, will make us scared dogs.
Mr. Money promised to ensure that the second phase of the Press Center project takes off while regional branches are assisted to secure offices. He commended government for the free distribution of laptops to journalists and the establishment of the Media Fund. The chairman of the National Media Commission, Kabra Ble Amirhier, expressed concern about the relationship of some journalists with the powers that be. This development, he noted, is a threat to democracy.
That report was filed by Yaya Kwamwa.
The General Secretary of the Ghana Journalists Association, David Agbenu, says the GJA should be given a bargaining certificate to attain a trade union status to enable it to negotiate the salaries of its members. This is because Ghana is one of the countries which poorly pays its journalists. Speaking on Behind the News, Mr. Agbenu said, in the interim, the association is appealing to media institutions to pay its workers well and also advise journalists to add more value to themselves through acquiring more knowledge.
If you recall, TUC engaged some consultants to do some work on the remuneration of journalists. And based on that, DJS said, no, this cannot continue. So it went to the TUC and expressed interest in becoming a union. Because at that time, it was felt that it is only becoming a union that will allow you to have a bargaining certificate that you can bargain on behalf of your members. I think that plans are far advanced for the GJA to be given a bargaining to become a union in order to negotiate on behalf of its members.
Do you think this will materialize very soon, the GJA being able to even negotiate on such issues?
Well, you sign on to become part of the GJA, or you sign on to become a member of the Union of Journalists, they will have to bargain on your behalf. They will have to negotiate with your management to look at the salary level and pay according to the bargaining power that you have.
There are those who think that the unionization policy could also be used by the journalists to get their employers to pay them better salaries. And you know what follows when the better salaries are not coming? Strikes. Is it part of the bargain?
It is not intended to be looked at negatively. The intention is for us to be able to get salaries that commensurate with the work that journalists do. So the work is towards bringing on board all the other sectors of the media profession that are not being paid well. That's the idea.
In the interim, since you don't have the union in place and going to do all the things, what are you doing together with management of other media houses to ensure that their workers are well catered for?
What we are doing is to appeal to media institutions to pay their journalists very well.
General Secretary of the Ghana Journalists Association, David Agbenu, talking to Kingsley Obinjere.
National Media Commission Chairman Cabral Bleyamihie says the process to secure a new Director General for the Ghana Broadcasting Corporation is ongoing. He says although the substantive Director General Bethia Penteng's tenure has expired, GBC is not orphaned because there is currently an acting Director General. Mr. Amihie was speaking with Rebecca Epe on the sidelines as Ghana marked World Press Freedom Day. He cautioned the media to separate management functions of the state broadcaster from the mandates of the NNC and familiarize themselves with Article 12 of the 1992 Constitution. Reacting to the chairman of the NNC on GBC's management vacuum, the local chairman of the Accra Union, Michael Alote, denied that the union is confusing appointment issues. Mr. Alote said the NNC has not been proactive enough to replace the director general when it knew that Mr. Defia Penteng's term of office had ended.
Now to the international front. U.S. media reports suggest that Israeli warplanes have launched an airstrike inside Syria. The reports say the likely target was a weapons site. Some indicate the arms were to be sent to Lebanon's Hezbollah. There has been no confirmation from the Israeli or Syrian government. Meanwhile, President Barack Obama says he does not foresee sending U.S. troops to Syria amid concerns over the possible use of chemical weapons there. Speaking on a visit to Costa Rica, Mr. Obama reaffirmed that clear evidence that the Syrian government had used chemical weapons would change the game, but that any response would not be rushed.
Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro has accused former Colombian leader Alvaro Uribe of plotting to assassinate him. Mr. Maduro said he had evidence that right-wing Venezuelan politicians had been involved in the plot. He has alleged conspiracies against him since taking over from the late President Hugo Chavez and winning disputed elections last month.
That's when the news and main points again. President Mahama has stated that solving the energy crisis is the greatest priority of his administration. He said this when he inaugurated a unit of the Bui Hydro Project in the Bonafu region, which is expected to generate 130 megawatts of power into the national grid. And Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro has accused former Colombian leader Alvaro Uribe of plotting to assassinate him. Mr. Maduro said he has evidence that right-wing Venezuelan politicians have been involved in the plot. The news was presented by